I don't feel this or this or this. Who am I? God has gifted you for something. That is for sure. Another thing that kind of ties to this caution is also just don't limit God in this. Like I think, I want to say there are two kinds of people in this world. There's probably as many kinds of people in this world as there are people. But one of the ways I think about it is there's people that like stuff in a neat little package. Like everything's defined, everything's wrapped up, everything's all organized and neat. And then there's people that like stuff just kind of loosey-goosey and a lot of freedom and, you know, kind of openness about, you know, the way we define stuff and all that. That could really come into this gifting. If we're not careful, we can just sort of put people into boxes, right? So we want to be a little bit careful about that because God does use us in lots of ways. There are areas of clear strength for most of us, but then there's other things that just come to the forefront, and we find out, like, oh, I actually am pretty good at that. So I just want you to be encouraged that God does a lot of things. He just has gifted us in a lot of ways, and if you're open to it, he's going to use you because, and this is the third caution, and this is the important part, is that no one gets off the hook when we talk about God wants to use our gifts. Every single one of us has gifts. There is no one in the room that's giftless. All right? And maybe you don't know what it is yet. Maybe you're very clear about it. But I'm just telling you, that's an important thing. And I want to look at a scripture at Ephesians 4:16. And Justin did read this scripture, but I kind of want to reemphasize this. So the scripture in Ephesians 4:16 says, from him, which is Jesus, the whole body. So if you're a Christian, you're part of the body of Christ, by the way. So if you're a Christian, this verse does apply to you. The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the implications are kind of big here. It implies that if you're part of the body, you have something to do. Each part does its work. You have a job that's assigned to you. So you do have a gift that has to happen. None of us are giftless. The big implication for me is, what happens if you don't do your work? Right? Let's just think what that means. Let's look at those verses. If you don't do your work, what happens? Because there's all these cool things. The body's joined and held together. It grows. It builds itself up in love. What if you're not doing your part? What about that verse falls apart if you're not doing your part? Right? About the body growing and building itself up. So I kind of want to put a little pressure on us that there is something for us to do. God's after us in this series to kind of wake up and figure out what it is and to dive into it. So there you go. So let's start looking at the ones I was assigned to. The first one is the gift of, I'm going to call it pastoral, being a pastor. So again, Justin hit on this pretty hard, but I'm going to reiterate some of his points. Probably more than any other gift that's listed, this one carries a good bit of cultural baggage. This is the one gift that's named that, especially up maybe until the last few weeks, if I said, what do you think a pastor is? Everyone here has an idea. You actually have something in your mind about what a pastor is. And the definition from the dictionary is the pastor is a minister who's in charge of a congregation. Right? And so if we said, okay, let's just pick a church. Probably don't pick this one. Let's pick a different church. Get it in your mind and think, what do you call the guy who's the boss of that church? What do you call the guy, the one person that if someone's sick, they go to the hospital? What do you call the one person that if someone's getting married, they're the one that performs the wedding or performs the funeral? What's the guy that has to get the vision for that church? You see what I'm driving at? There's one guy, and then we call him the pastor. Well, where we're landing on, and I feel this very much personally, that's probably not the biblical view of pastor. Right? That's why we're leaning so hard on shared leadership. How can one guy do all of that? And we put that pressure on people, and not to cast shade on other fellowships, right? But I'm just saying, that's why we're leaning so hard on shared leadership, because it feels like there's a part of us that needs to be pastoral, but all that other stuff has to get spread around. And what's helped me just is like an easy answer for me to get away from that cultural baggage. Instead of saying the gift is pastor, like your gift to be called a pastor, let's call it pastoral, right? That just feels a little like more accessible, right? So if I say, Carla Pulse, I think you're the pastor, she'll get twitchy. But if I say, Carla, you're kind of pastoral, she'll probably get that, right? She'll relate to that. And so the definition of pastoral actually is concerning the giving of spiritual guidance. And also, if you think about a pastoral scene in a painting, it's related to sheep and cattle. It's actually related to being a shepherd. It's pastoral. So that ties together nicely. So what we're thinking about is saying, okay, who's sort of pastoral? In Acts 20, Paul uses this thinking when he's talking to the elders of the church. And this is the church of Ephesus, and Paul's giving them some final advice. And in Acts 20, verse 28. And Paul says to the elders in Ephesus, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. This is calling on those guys to be pastoral, right? You're being shepherds. So the idea of a shepherd is you're thinking about a flock of sheep. It's you're taking care of them. You're feeding them. You're making sure they have food and a place to sleep, right? In my mind, that's a lot what we do as parents. Like my kids had a place to sleep. They had food. They had warmth. If there was something going on, they needed protection, we were there for them. That's what we do for our kids. So I think of, you're thinking pastoral, that gifting of pastoral, you think of kind of this idea of being maternal or paternal. You're being fatherly or motherly to people. That's being pastoral. And especially if you find yourself taking care of kids that aren't your own, then that might be a good sign that that's your gift, is you're kind of the pastoral guy. And so as we're thinking about who am I, what is my gift, think about yourself like that. Am I one of those kind of people that really watches out? Like I have that feeling, are they safe? Are they comfortable? Are they being taken care of? That gives you the idea of pastoral. Another part of that being pastoral is, do you feel compassion for people that are struggling? Because we can be like that. We can say, do I feel compassion for them? Or do I say, what's wrong with them? Why don't they just go get a job? You know, whatever it is. So you can kind of sort of feel, how do you respond to people? That gives you the idea of if this is your gift or not. In Mark 6:34, this is the idea of that compassion that comes up. Mark 6:34, and this is after Jesus had been away in a solitary place, and he comes back on a boat, actually. And then when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. See, it's that idea of being pastoral, fatherly, shepherd, like a shepherd kind of a person. You're being pastoral, that compassion that comes up. So that's really what a pastoral gift is. Now, none of us get off the hook for having to take care for each other. I mean, that's not only pastors that get to care for each other. But if you're pastoral, you just have that extra chip, I think. And you think out of ministry, if you think in just in the out there in the world of work, you know, pastoral people tend to be stuff like counselors, right? You'll see them as school teachers, especially elementary school teachers. They really are the kind that really care for people and take care of them. If you're a middle school teacher, you're not pastoral. You're automatically a saint. So that's Different deal altogether, right? I think of people in healthcare, like nurses. Those are people that tend to be pastoral. So I just want to say, as you're thinking, who am I? What am I? Are you given towards that kind of helping profession? You're probably kind of pastoral. That probably is a good hint that this is maybe who you are. Now, those are all positive things. You know, oh, you're so helpful, you're so caring, you're all that. Pastoral also is the kind of person that if your feelings get hurt over nothing, you're probably pastoral, right? You just have that kind of sensitivity. If you seem like you're the person that's always eliciting affirmation, you need people to say nice things about you, right? You're probably pastoral, right? So this is the kind of thing that is kind of the negative part of it, but those are what makes us pastoral. Also, and this is very true, is pastoral people tend to be a little squishy about standards. And what I mean by that is when there's these rules and hard things and laws, pastoral people give everybody a break. They give everyone a pass, right? Like, they're like, well, you didn't really mean to do that. You don't want a pastoral person as a judge because everybody's walking, right? They just tend to be, like, very flexible about that. And so this is a little bit of a side note, and I'm going to get out of my boundaries a little bit here, but you know that saying about opposites attract? That's probably a common expression because it's kind of true, opposites attract. So Becky's a different style than I am. So I would call her more prophetic, and I don't want to teach prophetic right now, but those guys tend to see things black and white and a little bit see the edges very clear. And us pastoral guys, we're very like flexible and edgy like that. And so as an example, if someone tells something that's not true, I'll say, well, they were just, it's probably hyperbole. They were just, you know, exaggerating to make a point. They really didn't mean that, you know, like I'm just making it all soft and all that. And Becky says, actually, they're a liar. And Revelation 21:8 says liars go to hell, right? So I'm like, okay, so that's the difference, right? So what I'm just pointing out is what does it look like to be pastoral? And so you just be thoughtful, just be introspective about that. Go, well, maybe that's me, maybe it's not. And if you really just have a hard time feeling compassionate for people, Justin said it very clearly last week, like, that's not me, you know. I go, well, that's, we need all kinds, but that's who's pastoral. Okay, so that's the pastoral part. Now we want to talk a little bit about wisdom. And wisdom is actually one of the lists on the gift in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's look at that a moment. And I would like to give a little background, so we'll read verses 4 through 8. Oh, and I wanted to make this point, too. This is interesting to me, and sorry I forgot to say it. But when I was thinking of pastor, and it's such a common thing in our culture, and, you know, it just feels like everybody knows what it means. How many times do you think the word pastor is listed in the New Testament, by the way, just because it's such a big part of our culture? How many times do you think the word pastor comes up in the Bible? One time. Yeah, just that one time in Ephesians where it lists the what we call the fivefold gifts. Some are apostles, evangelists, and pastor, teacher, and prophet. At one time, and that's it. And the word does actually mean shepherd. That's actually the Greek word. So anyway, all that, I was just thinking of that. Okay, so wisdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And so, the word they use right there is a message of wisdom. New King James says a word of wisdom. And so we're saying that is one of the gifts that's given, according to 1 Corinthians 12. One of the gifts that's given is a word of wisdom. Now that one, for me, is interesting because wisdom is like a common word. Like it's, even if you look at the Greek word for wisdom, you're thinking, what insight are we going to get out of that? The Greek word for wisdom is exactly the definition, is wisdom. There's no fancy insight. It's just is what it is, right? So we had this couple of ladies that were in our church years ago wrote this book called Hats. So it was Lynn Moffitt and Andrea Downing. And they had this cool little section on wisdom, and I'm going to steal that from Lynn and Andrea. And Lynn sometimes watches online. So if you're watching, Lynn, thank you very much. So I'm going to give this little four ways that wisdom is used, and this is what I'm taking from the book Hats. So number one is there's just human wisdom. There's just this natural human wisdom that we, most of us, have, and the word we use for it is common sense, right? We just, as you get through life and you do things in a proper way, it's just common sense. That's just wisdom. Hopefully we acquire that through the process of just growing up, right? And some people are very famous for not having good common sense, right? And we all know those kind of people. But there is this human wisdom. There is also an idea, and this is something I hadn't thought about, but there's counterfeit wisdom. And that means you're going to nefarious sources, like tarot cards or Ouija board, and you say, I need to know what to do. Should I marry this person? And you're doing the Ouija board. Well, these are actually bad things. These are evil spirits. This is a counterfeit wisdom. And then there's godly wisdom. And I think this is just gained through learning about God, respecting the Lord, studying God's word. It just grows in much the same way that the fruit of the Spirit grows in our life, right? We gain wisdom just as we're being around God. I think this is what these guys are talking about in Acts chapter 6. I think this is godly wisdom, not a specific word of wisdom, but just this overall gaining wisdom by growing up in God. And so if you look in Acts 6, and I put verse 4, but that's not quite right. Oh, yeah, there it is, verse 3. So they're wanting these guys to take care of, like, waiting on people in the ministry of, sorry, a service. And they say, verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. They're just, like, known to be wise people. I think this is the godly wisdom that they've just gained over time. And then the last thing is more like a word of wisdom. And that's what I think is referenced in 1 Corinthians 12:8. And that's like this supernatural gift, that this sudden giving of wisdom for the moment that you need in that minute. I think that might be more what James 1:5 is. And this is just a little bit my opinion. You don't have to agree with this, but this is where I think, if you lack wisdom, this is James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, you ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So you're like, I'm stuck here. I need wisdom in this moment. I was thinking about an example that gave kind of two different kinds of wisdom, was when we were in Mexico. And this was a few years ago. And it was the weirdest year that so many people got sick. It was like so much of our team was just falling apart. And we were way out in the country working. And I think all of a sudden we just had some regular wisdom. And we said, you know what? You guys need to quit drinking that fruit juice that they're bringing us. Because they're being very kind and very thoughtful. But I think they're mixing it with the water from their tap when they're making the juice. And we're just getting sick left and right. That feels like, that's just wisdom, right? But then there was something else going on. And we didn't know what it was, but the team was just sort of really like they were sick, they were falling apart, it just felt off. And I think God gave us a word of wisdom and said, you know what, there's spiritual warfare that we need to focus very intently on that. And we had this prayer meeting, and as a group, there was a lot of us, 21 or 22 of us, Emily remembers this, and we said, I think that there's spiritual warfare that we haven't directly attacked. We held hands, we sang, we prayed, and it changed, like in that moment. And I thought that was a word of wisdom that came to us that said, this is what you need to do. You need to attack the warfare, not just make sure you're eating and drinking the right things, right? And it really was a turning point for us. Okay, so that's about the word of wisdom. And I guess the real great takeaway from that is it's a gift that God occasionally gives us. And I think what James tells us, if you feel this need, ask for it. Like, this is one of the gifts that you can just say, man, I need this. I need wisdom. I don't know what to do here. You know, my life's falling apart. This relationship, this deal with money, this deal with whatever. You go, I need wisdom. Ask for a supernatural wisdom that's beyond just growing up in God or just growing up in the world where you have a certain kind of wisdom. Ask for a supernatural wisdom to come from God. Okay. So that's wisdom. The last one I want to talk about is leadership. And that's also in Romans 12, 8 in that list. In Romans 12, 8 says, and this is the list of gifts, and it says, one of them, if it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. Old King James said, if it's to rule, do it with diligence. So it's this gift of leadership that we get. That word does not show up a ton either. It's five times in the New Testament. This is one of them in Romans 12. All the other times are right around when they're saying, do you want to be an elder? Do you want to be a deacon? Then you should rule or you should lead your family well. That's the leadership word. So when it's talking about how do you lead with your family, they all are, it's a Greek word, proistemi. It means to stand before. In other words, to lead, to be the first one to stand before, or to attend to pay attention. Again, kind of like a shepherd. So that's what that means, to be a leader. I do think that that one is, we kind of see it from the outside, like the gift of leadership, kind of like pastoral. If you see someone that's all sweet and gentle and takes care of people all the time, you go, oh, they're pastoral. Leadership is someone that just, you know, they just take charge, right? They're the ones that stand before, that go first. They just have that gift. I'm just going to pick on Justin a little because him and I have run together a long time, and as it turns out, he's not here, so he doesn't get to say anything about it. So Justin, I've been to conferences with him, and he had mentioned one of these leadership conferences. I've been a few with him, and we'll be in a good-sized room. There'll be 200-300 people in the room. Someone's up front, and they're these, like, kind of in circles, famous people. Like, everyone's like, oh, my gosh, this is a guy that runs all the churches in Israel, or this is a guy that leads all this prophetic stuff, or whatever, these big leaders, world leaders. And I'm kind of, like, impressed. Like, I'm kind of in awe a little bit of these guys, and I'm just, wow, that was amazing. Wow, that guy's very sharp, whatever. And so after the meeting, I'll be just thinking about, wow, those guys were great. Wow, that's amazing. I wonder how they did all that, blah, blah, blah. And I look over there, and there's Justin talking to him. And then as Justin talks to him, the next thing I know, he's meeting with them, and they're coming to Bogosa, or he's in some kind of a FaceTime meeting with them, or some kind of a special group that only, you know, 30 people in the United States are in, and Justin's involved. And this has been our whole history with Justin. He just has that gift of leadership. So we're in this meeting, he's up front talking to these great world leaders, and then I'm back talking to the hotel staff when they're cleaning up. I'm finding out, how are your kids doing, right, or whatever. But I just think, man, that's really a clear gift for me. And we had this experience that I just thought really illustrated the pastoral and the leadership together. Justin and I were meeting with this group of people, and we've known them very well, and they had been through this hard experience. And I'm going to not give too many details, but it was involved with some spiritual abuses. And so we had this meeting, we're hearing from them, we're hearing their story. My pastoral side is all coming up, and I'm just feeling awful for them. But I don't have any answers. I just feel terrible. And I'm like, man, this is hard what you guys have been through. This is rough. I don't know what to do for you, but, you know, I'll pray, whatever. And then this leadership chip comes out of Justin. He goes, I know a guy. And he names this name, and everybody's like, dang, that guy is, everybody knows that guy. He says, I'm going to talk to him, and we're going to directly, you know, do something. Like, I know people that know people, and they're going to talk to people, and we're going to get something done. And the room changed. Like, instead of just being, ah, oh, that's so hard, all of a sudden we thought, oh, something's going to happen. There's going to be some justice occur. And it's like, whoa, that's what leadership looks like in action. And then he says, now, Mark, it's time for you to, and he used these words, it's time for you to do your gift, to do your thing. You need to pray for these guys. And so then I go, oh, okay, that's right. I need to step up and be pastoral. And so I start praying, and then all of a sudden I can't even pray because I just, compassion comes on me, and I feel so bad about what they're going through, and I just have to wait a minute because I can't even talk. And then as I'm praying and God's giving me something to encourage them about healing, about, you know, restoration, about all that God's going to do, and then Justin has his plan, and then we're done, and it's like, man, this was really like something occurred. And the leader of that group, we said, how do you feel? And all she said was, praise God. Like, all that burden, all that trouble just went away. And I thought, how cool was it that we had this leadership, we had the pastoral, we had those gifts working together, and probably took a little wisdom too, right, in that moment to say, what do we do next? It was so cool to see him in action. I couldn't do it by myself. If I was all by myself, all we would do is go, oh, I sure feel bad for you, right? And if it was only Justin, they wouldn't feel met in their emotions. They would feel like, okay, something's happening. There's some justice, but what do you do with this woundedness, right? So you just see how all these things work together. So it's really very, very cool. All right, so here's a big takeaway for me. We're going to be reviewing gifts. We're going to say, how do they work together? How do we help balance each other out? What is our part in the body? And I see a couple of things that are very helpful. One, that you start learning who you are. Right? You start really taking it personal, like this is who I am, and that you kind of lean into that. And you also learn who you are not, which is very helpful. So I was a school counselor for 30 years. In all those years, I could have become a principal or assistant principal easily. I'm not afraid of taking more classes. My wife knows this too well, much to her chagrin. I keep going to school whenever. I'm not afraid of that. The money would have been great, right? You become a principal or assistant principal, the big pay jump. But you know why I didn't do it? It's not me. And I know who I am, and I know who I am not. See, those are the two things I really want us to be thoughtful about, that we're leaning into as we're doing this series. So, big deal to be comfortable in your own skin, big deal to figure out what your skin actually looks like. And this is circling back to Ephesians 4:16, so each part does its work. Then all those good things can happen. The body can be built up in love as each part does its work. All right. Where's Daniel at, our worship leader? If you want to come on up, sir. So, guys, if you want to stand with me here. And then if there's ministry team guys, I should always be looking at the list. And I didn't. I'm just sorry I didn't. But you all know who you are. So this isn't like a big emotional appeal or something, but I do have a couple of thoughts that we could be praying for you if you want prayer. Number one is, as I go, yeah, figure out who you are, and lean into it and all that, and some of you were probably going, I don't have a clue. Like, I just don't get it. Well, we talked about this word of wisdom stuff. And so I'm going to say this. If you really don't have a sense of what you're created for, then you can come and ask for that. You can say, why don't you pray for me to have wisdom? Like, God can give me a word of wisdom of who I am. That would be great. The other thing is, you might be in some kind of a situation that you just go, well, you know what? When you mentioned about needing a word of wisdom, that resonates with me. So you might just want to get some prayer for that situation, whatever it is. And it's so cool to have support to pray for us. So you can get support, you can get prayer, you can get encouragement. But otherwise, in the big picture, we're just going to keep saying, we want you to see who you are and to be able to walk in it. And we're trying to support you through the messaging of here's what people are, and, you know, as soon as you see it, man, grab hold of it. You go, oh, wow, that's who I am. Now I know. You know, that's what we're praying for. So let me say a prayer for us, and if you would like some prayer, please come forward, and then I'll have Chris close when he feels appropriately. So, Lord Jesus, I guess the first thing I want to acknowledge is that you created us in a certain way. You created us to do certain things. And I'm just praying for this family that we'll have the grace to lean into that, to figure out what you've called us to. Lord, it comes to me if someone's in the room that really isn't even sure if they're connected to you yet, that you would give some courage and some grace to come get some prayer for that. That they would first of all acknowledge that they need you and that they will get on board with how you've created them to become your child. And then after that, Lord, I'm just asking for grace to hear from you and to receive what you've called us to, and to be bold that if we feel a certain kind of a calling that we haven't been walking in, that you give us some strength to walk in it. And just thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us. Your plans are good. Your plans are redemptive. And I also pray for those that felt like they had been called, but for whatever reason it didn't work out for them, or they felt disappointed or hurt or rejected or whatever. I just pray for strength to sign up again, and move forward again to what you're calling us to, Lord. So pray your blessing over this family today, your encouragement, your grace to rest here.